Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Great to see you again, and welcome back to Through the Wealth Lens. I'm Ryan Ruff, your host and moderator, but as always, I'll be joined by really the stars of our show. That's Hannes Grascher and Max Grascher of UBS's New York International Group. We're really excited to be back with everybody today to jump into a really interesting topic that's super pertinent for business owners. We're going to be focusing on those individuals today. And if you're an entrepreneur out there, the idea of selling your business, well, it's probably come across your mind a time or two, but it will most likely be one of the most difficult decisions that you make, if not for your business, but in your life as a whole. So given that, and if you ultimately do in fact decide to sell your business, you'll likely be encountering two main types of buyers. There is a financial buyer and there is a strategic buyer. Now, of course, a very big and key consideration during this process is which type of buyer you would be selling to that's the right one for you and your company and its future. So today we're going to be exploring how these two categories of buyers ultimately can play a very important role in how much you, the business owner, ultimately receive on the back end of this transaction, and to make sure that you walk away with the desired income and the desired results that you're hoping for. So given today's topic, we're also excited to be welcoming on a guest expert with today, James Jack, who leads UBS's business owners segment and has a just wealth of experience with the exit planning process. So a fantastic guest expert that we're going to be joined by today here on the show. So with that, why don't we go ahead and send it over to the guys, Hannes, Max, good to see you guys this morning. How are we doing?
Hey, Ryan. Yeah, great to be back. And I'm super excited to have James Jacks with us today. He is really our in-house evangelist for business owners, helping us, the advisors who serve these business owners, to educate them and prepare them for an eventual exit or transition.
Fantastic. Well, guys, why don't we start high level? I mentioned just a moment ago, there's two types of buyers. The first type of buyer that we're talking about is this idea of a financial buyer. What can entrepreneurs be expecting when they encounter a financial buyer?
Well, Ryan, financial buyers are professional investors who are in the business of buying and selling companies. They're solely interested in getting a financial return by purchasing a company. That return usually comes in two forms: funds taken out from cash flow or a future sale of the company. In short, it's all about the return on investment. That means you'll probably find that a financial buyer will be willing to pay more if you can make a compelling case that your company will generate strong and reliable profits for years to come. Buying and then reselling a company is the most common way for financial buyers to profit. So financial buyers tend to be opportunistic. They generally search for undervalued companies. Like most investors, they seek to buy low and then sell high down the road. They also seek companies with significant growth potential based on the industry they're in, their location, or some other growth drivers.
Fantastic. Well, James, I want to pivot over to you now. And of course, welcome again to the show. Now that we have a base understanding on this idea of a financial buyer, let's talk about the other side of the deal, the entrepreneur's role. Where does the seller necessarily fit into the type of buyer's vision for this company? I'd love to get your take here.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. And I'm glad this came out. Hannes and I saw each other a few weeks ago, right before Christmas, and we're talking and said, hey, you know, it'd be great to do this. So I really appreciate having me on. So I'd say that while it's usually the case, it's certainly not always the case that financial buyers really have some deep knowledge of a particular industry or type of business, and they concentrate their activity in kind of key areas. So an example could be that a financial buyer might focus exclusively on acquiring, you know, retail-oriented companies, or maybe even deeper, in the apparel industry, as an example. Not always the case. You do have some big kind of multi-industry financial buyers. You know, maybe some of the big private equity companies, as an example. But it could really range in from that. But they see your business as an investment. I think Hannes just kind of said that, but they're not generally focused on hands-on enterprise running it themselves. So I think it's often the case, again, not always, that, you know, they're going to look for a management team that will continue to run the business, whether that means you, usually maybe at least for a few years, right? You maybe as a contract, or the existing team that you've developed, or eventually they might hire someone, but they really, you know, are looking to capitalize on what you've already built. And they're going to inject oftentimes their own capital into the business. So, you know, hopefully that means that, you know, with more capital, they might, you know, put more investment into products and research and development, or even purchasing other companies. You know, it's all about kind of really driving that stronger growth. So I think oftentimes they're regularly engaging in some restructuring on the financial side in order to boost the value, with the hope that, you know, one day they'll look to, you know, potentially sell it or bring the company public, to really bring about kind of that outsized return and deliver on their investment thesis. So I mentioned oftentimes, kind of as an example, private equity is typically who would be in this space. You know, that's, you know, but it's interesting, because I think we're going to get into some strategic buyers too. Things have evolved a bit in financial buyers. You know, 10 years ago, it was very much kind of financial versus strategic, but now more and more private equity financial buyers are becoming in themselves strategic buyers. So it's transforming a little bit than just kind of A or B. But yeah, that's definitely where the types are generally seen.
Yeah, and Ryan, to expand on that point, you know, great information that James provided just there. So generally, we have two distinct types of financial buyers. So like he said, private equity firms, and the other one would be family offices. The vast majority are private equity firms that tend to be really knowledgeable and sophisticated when it comes to, you know, all the different aspects of deal making. So that would include due diligence, valuations, legal expertise about acquisitions, and deal structuring. Some of the advantages to selling your company to a private equity firm are a higher sales price generally, more cash up front, stability of deal terms, and it's more cost effective. And of course, there's two sides to every coin. In terms of the disadvantages, the process generally takes longer. On average, a private equity deal is around 9 to 12 months. There's a big culture shift because you're essentially losing control of how you do things, how you did things your own way. And of course, you have continuing accountability to the partners. So like James said, usually they have the upper management stay on for a couple years at least before they exit the business totally. That said, family offices are increasingly purchasing or investing in privately held companies. So entrepreneurship is how many families with family offices became extremely wealthy in the first place. So buying an existing business is often seen as a natural way to generate additional wealth. So as with private equity firms, most family offices have extensive experience in doing deals.
And James, with the second category of buyer being the strategic buyer, how does the strategic buyer differ from a financial one?
Well, you know, I was kind of alluding how financial buyers are coming more and more like strategic buyers. But the key difference is strategic buyers are typically focused on how the acquisition can complement and enhance their existing platforms. So I think the thinking of it is kind of a 1 + 1 = 3. So, you know, they're already owned business. They bolt on the new business, and now you know, that creates that, you know, the power of multiple businesses. So it's driving greater economies of scale. It's driving synergies. That's really the key focus. And like I mentioned, some financial buyers, you know, they've purchased companies and now they're bolting on. So in a sense, you're getting that they have transformed themselves into strategic buyers. But I think, you know, a really good example, you know, would be you know, an existing, maybe it's a public company and, you know, like Apple, right? And they're going to go on and buy, you know, some other technology company and bring on that come, or Facebook buying, you know, Instagram, as an example. So they're really looking for synergies, as like I mentioned. So, you know, what reliable synergies that they'll have a good chance of increasing the efficiency and profitability. They're often easier to quantify, and hopefully that then drives a higher price for the business owner. That's kind of one of the thinking about finding a synergistic buyer. And then what could be potentially synergies that could even lead to greater corporate capabilities and growth. So maybe these are a little bit more nebulous, and they may not have major factors in the price of the company. But you can think about where they can go. So the more likely that there's synergies, Hannes, is like the is what's going to drive value. And that's going to be what's important to a strategic buyer. So if you're a business owner who is thinking of selling, maybe just a piece of advice on either of these companies is, if you think you know who you want to purchase your company, if it's one of these two routes, and there are other routes that we're not even getting to in this podcast, you want to begin to be able to tell your story in that way. So if it's a strategic buyer who you think you ultimately want to buy, purchase your company, play up the factors that create synergy as an example.
Yeah, and this additional value can really be created in several ways. So most commonly, we see access to new markets. You know, you have an expanded line of products, which, you know, is never a bad thing. Increased talent, you're getting the top dogs at both companies. Greater cost efficiencies due to the elimination of redundancies, new capabilities such as enhanced distribution or intellectual property, and a more powerful brand and reputation. Like James said, you know, he had that great example of Facebook buying Instagram, and we've seen what, you know, how they've benefited from that since that acquisition. And as such, strategic buyers, you know, they often pay more for a company than financial buyers because of the enhanced value they expect to derive from the synergies fueled from the acquisition. So for strategic buyers, it's less expensive and faster to acquire an existing company and benefit from the synergies than to build the capabilities from scratch.
And James, given all your experience in the field, and you've seen hundreds and hundreds of these entrepreneurs selling businesses, right? What are some of the different types of strategic buyers you've encountered over the years?
It really does run the gamut, Hannes. So it can be all different types. But I think some generalities are, it might be a supplier who's possibly looking for vertical integration. It might be similarly a customer who's looking to that same kind of vertical integration. Competitors, they want to create some industry consolidation. Maybe it's, you know, not exactly within the same space, but, you know, in the orbit. And so maybe they're looking to diversify their company. So finding kind of adjacent industries and selling similar products. So, you know, I use that example of Facebook and Instagram. It's a good example, I think, because at the time, and I, you know, maybe it's what 14 years ago when that happened, and you know, Mark Zuckerberg paid you know $1 or $2 billion for the company. I think at the people at the time were like, whoa, that's crazy, right? This, you know, this small photo sharing company, you know, what is it? And I think, you know, at the time, Facebook saw that there really was something there. And, you know, now all these years later, Instagram is completely ubiquitous in our lives. And it's, you know, it is driving billions and billions of dollars of Facebook's, you know, total bottom line. So, you know, looking back at it, you know, you'd say Facebook or Meta, you know, they got Instagram as a steal, right? That's exactly what a strategic buyer is looking to do. So that's a really, I think, a really easy example, but it, you know, there's all different sorts in there. And again, it goes back to, it's really about driving kind of those synergistic value drivers.
Sure. So, gentlemen, when we're looking at these two different buyers, the financial and the strategic buyer, I think the question that now begs to be asked is, and Hannes, I'll tee this one up for you. How can an entrepreneur ultimately decide which type of buyer might be the best fit for them and their business?
Well, Ryan, that it's such a personal decision. And the answer, of course, is that it all depends on your goals and your objectives. But there's some guidelines to help you arrive at the right decision for you. So I would consider a financial buyer if you seek access to capital for growth and acquisitions, if you value flexible deal terms and transaction structures, or you want to continue to be actively involved in the company after the deal. I would think twice about a financial buyer if you don't want to take on additional debt payments, which can be considerable. You want to exit the business entirely. You've run it for 20 years and you said, listen, I'm done. I want to get my money out and then go play golf in Florida. Or you dislike the idea of the financial buyer exerting extensive financial influence on the business.
And so then on the flip side of that coin, Hannes, what should be the considerations if you're looking towards a strategic buyer then?
You would consider a strategic buyer if, for example, you seek the highest valuation for your company, you no longer want to be involved in the company's management after the sale, and you want the synergies between the two companies in order to increase the overall success of the combined business. But maybe think twice about a strategic buyer if you fear the potential synergies will not be realized and the company will suffer, or you worry that the sale would hurt morale among your existing employees. And then finally, you may think that customers could have a negative reactions to the sale. That obviously would drive down the value of the business. And that's something you don't want.
Sure, sure. Well, gentlemen, I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. When you do sell your company, you've got one chance to get it right. And thinking ahead about who you would like to sell to and for how much, well, that's going to, chart the course for a successful transaction or not. So a lot of really interesting conversation here today and great value provided by everybody. Hannes, I know you guys have conversations on a greater wealth management spectrum with your clients surrounding not just this topic, but many others. And if anybody out there would be interested in reaching out to you and your team to just open up a dialogue, what would be the best way they could go about doing that?
Sure. Should you have any questions about wanting to talk to us about this or getting in touch with James, who is always there as a great resource for us, you can reach out to me or Max and call us at 212-713-8952. And James, thanks for being another fantastic guest on today's episode. From all of us here in the studio, thanks for joining us for another edition of Through the Wealth Lens.
This communication is intended to be used for educational purposes only and does not constitute a solicitation to purchase any security, insurance, or advisory service. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. An investment in any security involves significant risks, and any investment may lose value. Refer to all risk disclosures related to each security product carefully before investing. This commentary is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed may not be officially those of UBS Financial Services Incorporated, and the firm does not verify nor guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information presented. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC registered broker dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that clients understand the ways in which we conduct business, that they carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to them about the products and services we offer. For more information, please review the PDF document at ubs.com/relationship summary.